This morning I'm turning to the book of Genesis chapter 12. And I read to you from verse 24. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And this morning I want to speak from this passage, and our subject is responding to God's invitation. And Genesis book here, chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, yeah, Mark can show me. Now, yeah, good day, Jesus will say, you are no idea my young couple on the fret. You are no idea my young couple on the fret. And in the Bible, the picture that is shown to us always after the Son of Man is that God always comes to call sinners to himself. God always comes to invite us to himself. Remember, when Adam himself sinned, God came calling Adam, where are you? Man, because of sin, we are ever run away from God. Even if we try to be religious and we have not really known him as we ought to, our physical presence will be wherever and claim to be whatever we want to show as Christians, but our heart will always be far from him. We will never love him, we will never obey him. So, we want to see this invitation, the record here, God's invitation to Abraham, and as a great example for us to also see how it is to really respond to God's call for us. I'm sure you know this passage, there are so many lessons in it, but I just want us to concentrate on the response that Abraham gave to the Lord. You know, God told Abraham to leave his country, tribe, and family to a place that he will afterwards direct him. And after we see that God also promised to bless him. There were some that were physical blessings, and there were some that will go to eternity. If you read that of Hebrews, it tells us, it gives us better explanation. But then we are not thinking of that. We are thinking of Abraham's response, as I've said. And we are told that Abraham, verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So after the Lord appeared unto Abraham and spoke to him, he left. And looking at the call in Acts, Stephen told us the same account, but then we were aware that Abraham had the first call when they were in Ur of the Chaldeans, what you know, and also at Haran, where he actually left to continue to the Canaan land. So initially from Ur of the Chaldeans, he left there with his family, his father and others, and they came to Haran, and then later he has to continue. So I think others you see that there were two calls to, but whatever it is, Abraham responded to the call of God, the invitation to leave his country, his family, and his tribe, and to follow him, never to return again. But then, Abraham's willingness to obey God's invitation tells us of something, that he had a humble submission to God's will. He was willing to submit to God's will. That's the first picture that shows us. He was willing to submit to God. Because if somebody tells you something, then you don't respond by positively going to according to what you have said. That means whatever attention you give it to it, you have not submitted to. I mean, you are not willing to accept that ideas. But we see here that Abraham submitted to God's will to go. And this humble submission, this is what it takes to believe in God. If we have not come to this point to see that God is true and faithful, and whatever he tells us is the only true thing we can ever know in this world, and that we are willing to give ourselves to it, we will never know God. If we are one of those who hears God's word, and we take it as if one of the news that we hear around on the radio, on the television, or one of the conversations around, we take the message like just a human instruction. We can decide to take it or not. We will never know him. We will never submit to him. Because what it takes to believe in God is that we say that this is God, what God has said, and we resign ourselves to it, no matter how. It demands a quick response from us. Because God is our creator. He knows everything about us. We didn't come into this world by ourselves. And where we even live, and the parents that give birth to us, and all the capacity we have, we don't own them. It has been given to us. We are like, well, we didn't work them out. You see, God gave them to us. So if there's any other thing God tells us, we ought to obey him. So here we see that the humble submission to God's will is the great thing. That's the only way we can really believe him. If we cannot submit to his will for us, whatever he tells us, we can never know him. If you look at the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, the common testimony was that they pleased God, meaning that they were humble to him, they were willing, they submitted to his will. You never please anybody whom you don't, we are not willing to obey. Can the parents say, well, we are happy with our child soon, so when the child, does not obey them. No. They please God because they were humble to obey him. That's the testimony of the heroes of faith. Remember Noah? God told Noah that he's going to destroy the world with water. Noah feared. We are told he feared. He was moved with kind of reverent respect and willing to submit. Moses also, he was taking care of sheep and cattle. When God calls him, he feared. He also obeyed and followed what the Lord told him. And this is what it means to follow the Lord. But another aspect is also, before we move on further to look at Abraham's case, we also see that faith in the Lord always demands forsaking something. Because, do you know why? Because to believe in God means there's something God has said that I want to obey and do. Meaning that you go against something that I was doing or something that I like. That's how it is. Faith in God will always demand forsaking something. Dear, you can say, Abraham, Babu Train said, if you say fire bonnet, Adam here bonnet, and I'm sorry bonnet, they be uncle called by a friend of Fred. Adam here bonnet, no, your name for Fred. Or who could see something here? Simple, I said, ah, well, you're bad, sorry, you didn't have a couple of names, I'm not saying fire, come on, cast a man, one. Then in this work again, you're in fire, you're home, man, you say, you're in fire, you're not going to share this. If you're bad, one, you can't say, you didn't have a couple of one. You say ye ba nyankopon che di ni so Abraham ono so ye so we so tie di ma nyankopon na se bia o ka kire no ahopopo so o di be di nyankopon na se moji ni ehu Abraham di fro ya Bible che ze o free ne krom ne busua ne bebia ote na nyankopon o ye no nya pese bi nyankopon be kire ni bia o be di so no akọ na me ka sa Abraham su ye su a e de di che ze o bi bia ra abọ nyankopon che no. Also, back our side is human. But we say Hebrews chapter 11, no, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, no, I'll be here, I'll be here. I'll be saying, no, I'm going to say, and we say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, okay, so, we see here Abraham's case, we see that, as I said, faith always demands for seeking something. I say, yes, you're going to say, no, A bear, the credit when they don't come to you, a problem. And yet, you did not have one more. Let's just say, in your first page, you do a problem. Sanity. And always is about our ways of life. Yapaya, you did see what you are seeing. Yapi and Debora, ene yenida suwo ene die dwen fa nipa ne nkwa kra ene die dwen fa bone ho kra no nyi ya betesa nje be ma esusu ebi abaya kra bo so ti se Abraham dia ye ken. And that is why in the Bible always there's repentance before faith. You see, repentance is not faith, but it is always connected. If you do not repent, you cannot trust in the Lord. If we don't repent, you cannot trust in the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, His death on the cross of Calvary, will not benefit any sinner who is not willing to forgo a life of sin. You see, how can I trust the Lord Jesus Christ unless I am willing to forgo a life of sin? Any life that God hates, I must forgo. You see, say Christ who will Calvary, am I born in him? But my dear day, so my new, when this will be out, many of us are Christ born in him. What do you mean? So, to believe, we have to repent first. Though repentance do not save us, but we have to repent first. So, now let's look at Abraham's condition. Here we have Abraham's condition before God called him. Most of the time, people don't think of it. People always think about Abraham as if he knew God and God called him and he followed. No, it wasn't so. That's not the case. The dream Abraham, the Tibia no team, answer and hope of Abba friend. The fact in the Bible is that Abraham, like all people in his country and the tribe that he was with his father and the family, they were all idolaters. The cry of Abraham is Abraham, my former friend, the Bushia. In Joshua 24 verse, look at how Joshua told the people of Israel, for them to think of their origin. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus said the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. They did what? They served other gods. Joshua not remind Israel for us. Abraham as I am who is a mufi nipa no osunya memu no no ya obosunsun ni as ya go for friend nti mo bi inside we say na mo say Abraham e do osunsun ni nti mo so say mo so say osunya go for say Abraham so nya go for. So Joshua was telling them that don't take it for granted that you are God's people, don't take it for granted that you have come to know the Lord, and also so that the rest of you, the later generations, will begin to live like how you want, and you think God will still bless you. We say, no, you too have to follow the footsteps of your father Abraham. Look, he was serving idols, he was an idolater, no small bosom. And God came to call him. In Genesis chapter 11, 27 to 32, we are told of the family of Abraham, and you cannot read there, you can read on that at that place later. And we are told that they were living in the Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia. And that was the place that Abraham was born, and that's where they lived. So God called him, and they left there. And the notable worship of this place was idols. And we have known that they have so many idols, but they were worshiping the moon god. The moon was very popular. They worship it in that place. It was a very popular worship in that place. And not only that, it was a great city, it was a significant city in Mesopotamia in those times. And in that part of the world, there was civilization there at the time of Abraham and his people were living there, because archaeological discovery tells us that it was a very civilized city. And it was a city by a riverside, and some of the excavations, I'm sure there was proper education system in that city, of the Chaldees. And there was also, there were like libraries and schools, and so it was a very civilized city. And also there was a robust commerce and industries. We are told that it was one of the places that they discovered glass making in the world at the time. So it tells you that it was a very prosperous city. So that when God tells us, the Bible tells us that Abraham left his city, we don't think of him living from a small village He left, a very well advanced city to follow the Lord. Many of us, we think, well, if I become serious about things of God, I will lose so and so. But no, Abraham lived in such a city. The place where, there was schools and libraries, and there was manufacturing and commerce. It was by the riverside, so there was shipping and other things going on there. But despite all these advancements, Ai was a city noted for moon worship. Is it not sad? Despite all the advancements in the city, they were worshipping idols. That's a disaster. The Ai can say, Ai, Abraham crowed from near friend Ai of the Chaldees. I want to know if a terror and known in your no motif first. And so I have a friend, the Ai can say, crow, you know, a cra, no musum of bosom pebri, nabosum of no musum of a bosumi, a bosom of no musum. Now, apart from that, no cra, not a degree of a personal school. A share I tell you for no more to twist for one. Name who's the last schools in the libraries or hall. Then now, if you want so Koso, I did town in business of Koso, and according to history, no. Sab Biana, I'm saying a human being is a tumid glass at the year in Yoma. So, eventually, also how I know a chrono a cost of fire. Let me cast a imposa into swing near Chino, no chrono, some bosom. Near a hole. A crane to swan over to Sunia, maybe the government is over Africa. If it's all Africa, we are poor and whatever, and Yamas and Yoma Koya and Yamiapuya. And I think I should say, your poverty, your money. Poverty, well, when people are lazy, they can afford it, but that's their own. But poverty is nothing, you see. And advancement is not, merely a blessing from God. No. This is the world. And, God has divided the world into, we live in a world with different, there are things that Ghanaians have, though we are misusing it, but other countries don't have. Okay, others may use it. If they have it, they will use it for better things, which we may not use it. So, doesn't matter. But what matters is that the city of Ai was noted for moon worship. And we're told that, per the excavations, there were temples built for this worship publicly. Like, as we come to church, there were public temples for the worship of these idols. And the sad thing also is that, apart from the public, had excavations in the homes of people, there were niches where there are small excavations, the walls where they have the statues of these idols set up for family worship. So you see how deeply the worship of idols was. And it is, the Bible, because we look at when Jacob went to Laban, in Laban's family, they were worshiping idols. Remember when he was returning, Rachel stole one of the small idols. So it tells you how those people were. Because Laban, though he was from Abraham's family, but he had not, moved from his idolatry. He was still worshiping idols, and it was so in his own. So you see how deep these idols had become for them. It was the parcel of their day in and day out. Life that they lived. So they set up these idols for worship. So this tells us that the religion of Abraham's family was idolatry. So then we think of, then how did he come to know God? How did God get to him and all that? But this one thing that runs through the scripture, that the call of Abraham from God was a gracious one. I think about the Bible also, a chimu and also try a very common say. Now who want a friend of Abraham? If it's that, on the Abbasum's home for nothing, yes or no, smoke or soon be. Bible Rangas, no, on the Abbasum's for nothing, no, so soon be. The Bible, who walk off friend. So you see, Abraham deserved to live and die in sin like any of his family members, and to end up in hell, you see, because none of them sought after God. No, Abraham never sought after God. He was like any idolater in that path. But you see that God came to seek him. That's how God does. Yakupon, Abraham, God came to seek Abraham. So this tells us that Abraham's condition was like any other unrepentant sinner. Any other sinner living in his own sin. And you know that states the heart is alienated from God. The Ai can say, Abraham, if you're not saw the boy any beer or tiny bony more, or sacrament any bony. Now, sad to be, the boy in Nakuma, ɛyɛ ɛsɛ ɔne yankopɔn ɛɛdi aprɛprɛ ɔkutie yankopɔn ɔmpɛ sɛ ɔyɛsu tie mu yankopɔn sane ya de bɔne ni bia na koma te ɔnyame anim de bɔne ni bia ni hɔ mɔdɔ yankopɔn na meka no yɛbɛtumi aba asɔre yɛbɛtumi ame ɛme ne nwom ne ade what is our aim in life what's our purpose in life whom are we living our life for? That's the thing Are we having that thing that, well, we come to church, but the rest of our lives for us. We decide what we do, what we say, but we come to church and we say we are from. No, that is not how God's people are. So you see, the heart is alienated against God. The heart is against God. It doesn't matter what you do for God. If your heart, that is why in Proverbs say that, my son, give me thy heart. In Proverbs, I say, meba fawakuma mame. That's all that God wants from us. The heart. Because all that we are, all that drives us is from the heart. Our thinking and our desires. If that place is not given to God, how can you serve God? Because what drives you is from you. They push you mawe and yoma abe if you allow. So, and it's no sinner loves God. And indeed, the love of money, fame, achievement, luxuries, pleasure lust, fill the heart and mind of every sinner. The can say, the queen ye, sikado, and he said, ni papa who said, minso my bibi, and ne bia abraboe, minso, because the minso, my chivu bibi, and ne mehova tomo abraboe, and ne akono, semi ni beje, and no ne wo, the boy ni bia kumin. Si yako ponji, and ne bako, you feel my end. Sa, say Sikado, say me also, because me also, na mamba, me also, me yobi, say me bush me mo, say me community mo, a hen found, say madam, kumbo, me also, my yobi. And ne, say be a met na ye was as you so, and ne, hunam ne, a conwa, nipa, ye chino. Say nipa, behun yanko, for some new minute in a bravos. And the reason that every sinner will pursue anything in this life are these, for money, for fame, for achievement, for luxuries, for pleasure lust. That is all. If you take away these things, the sinner will not live. The sinner has no life to live. He will be unhappy. What is he going to live for? You see? He will be unhappy. And these things are the goals of modern society. Okay, so well, there's some Muslim. Who some popularity? What's necessary? What me at night now? What talk? And what corner now? Oh, yeah, the officer. Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, yeah, man. You don't have any life to live. That is the case of a sinner. The gods of modern society. In the year, you don't pass here. You're the only one in my bosom. Yeah, yeah, man. This is my way. And this force is ruining us. And what are these gods done for us? Nothing. Friends, if this is your course of life, it is a disaster. I don't know each one of us, but if this is your course of life, to live for money, for fame, for luxuries, for pleasure lust, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. Because it makes you an idolater. It makes you an enemy of God. You are under God's wrath. So what the sika nije ne abrabo ma hoto ne namu akono ene nije na wo si woni so person wo bobra na hunya na hoto na hunya dia then wo ye gbosomsom ni wo ye nyankopon ne tamfo. It doesn't matter how and who what you do for God. If these are the drives of your life, you are enemy of God. That's what the Bible tells us. Abraham was worshiping idols and he didn't know God. Every idolater is an enemy of God, because you set up, God has made you. God has made me. God has made all of us. And who deserves our the best of us? And we give it to money, we give it to things, and we pursue these things, and we live for it. You see, that is the sad thing. If this is your pursuit of life, it's a disaster. Because if you die in that state, you are doomed forever. So what tonight was some sumabra boy mwa kind sikadone. That's the In Psalm 50 verse 22, look at what the Bible tells us. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Who are those who forget God? Those who not give their heart to God. It's not the one who doesn't come to church. No. Those who forget God are those who keep their heart for themselves and keep God away from their heart, God's truth from their heart, God's truth from their life, and yet they can be religious. God do not own the best of you. You are not his. But the best of us, our hearts, it's our mind. Look at the whole world. What has helped us to this, all this achievement, the worldly, the technology, is the mind. If we take the mind from the man, we do nothing. If I again, we ask him, and then you think God don't deserve that? He deserves that. You see, he put it there, it has been corrupted by sin, he deserves it. It has to be given back to him. But you know, like Abraham, God is also gracious to every one of us here. As he was to Abraham, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gracious call of God to every sinner. You see, we have been entangled with this kind of ideas and lifestyle when we are born into this world. But then God is gracious to us like Abraham. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the call of God to us. The death of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary for the punishment for our sin, appeals to every sinner to consider what it is God to be reconciled to us in our condition as sinners. Say Jesus Christ ni wono wo Calvary no. Na ko woni ba Jesus Christ no. Ani samu e fa sense empa e ka chwe en so wu ntie en sakra agem. E ye Yakobon ni mo bro hu na dom asem e de mai. Ti samu oba Abraham chen no a. E fri se na samu we se Christ wo mo boni no. Boni ni bia no. E ya de Yakobon di de di chwe wa e ye I say a two talent a two talent. Say we ni Yakobon e kwan o dia to o se. Ibetumi afa so ni na enye nka. Bo bi se ya kuma mu boni edia ene ya ko dia prepare. Ji se edia mu ya ji sa nsem pa idi ni ya ko afa so be se ya kuma. Ni etumi ene no enya twaka. Ni etumi ni no enya baako. Baako ye. So he wants every sinner to forsake his pride, his lust, his selfishness, his greed, his lies, and come to him for forgiveness and fellowship. Obese de boni ni bi e jai na homa so na kono ne huna ahope. Pesman kunya ene ni bre ni ntro no osi e puni nya ne mbra ne nchen no fe won nchen ya na on san so nya ene nya ba. That is what God is telling us. That's what the call of God is all about. But do you care for these things? Do you care for this that God is telling us in the gospel of Christ, that because of our sins he sent his son to come and die, and that he's calling us to live our rebellion against him? Say, I'm born in Germany, I'm born in Christopher, I'm born here. No, I'm not saying, I'm not saying, I'm not saying, I'm born here. No, I'm not saying, 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 is it a matter of thought to you? Okay, now let's see what Abraham did. So we look at Abraham's response. So, when the Lord called Abraham, Abraham did not make light of the message. He responded by respecting what God has told him. You see, straight away, Abraham was sitting upon him, also about to have a for Abraham. Why, you know, I'm not getting tanta, but immediately, for we are told in verse 4 that so Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. Yes, Abraham, that is how it is. Have you totally yielded your heart and mind to him? Have you given up? You see, some of us, we have, but we have done half. Until there's a hymn that I have on my phone. The hymn says, is your all on the altar is laid? Have you laid all on the altar? Is your all on the altar is laid? Have you yielded to God everything? Have you yielded yourself to God? Is your all on the altar laid? That's the challenge. And he said that until we have yielded all, we will never know peace. We'll never know joy. We'll never know the Lord. Is your all on the altar laid? Have you given your heart to God? Have you given him your best? David said that he will never offer unto God that which will not cost him anything. All that we can offer that is precious It's our heart and mind to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and yield up our life to Him and ask Him to forgive and change us. That's all that God is calling us. Abraham, when he heard God's call, we are told, so Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. He's not sit out there. When you watch some of the movies, I try to show this. And you see, as Abraham, when God called, he woke up and he was sad. And then he was thinking of, and it's like he doesn't know how to even organize himself. No! The Bible tells us, so Abraham departed. So when God called him, he just lifted up himself. Someone who said, then, did he know God before? What was the cause? We'll come and know the cause. Okay. You know that although Abraham lived in that time where God's worship was degenerated, many of the people at that time has gone astray from the worship of God. But he lived not too far from the time of the flood, and also the issue, the punishment at the Tower of Babel, because in the time of Abraham, these two, the flood and the punishment at the Tower of Babel, will be fresh in people's mind. Because per records, Abraham lived about 400 years after the flood, and also about 100 years after the confusion of languages at the Tower of Babel. So, though these things were not written in the Bible, but they knew God's history. I mean, anything that is history, before it is written, people know it. So it's just 400 years and 100 years, it wasn't too far. But then you see how people have degenerated from God's worship. But this information were not lost on that generation. So Abraham will be aware of this thing. Though it didn't move him, it didn't really cause him to really consider to seek after God. But then it was there. So it was there. So Abraham will have been aware of this thing, that the cause of this great catastrophe, the flood and that of the Tower of Babel, was because God's punishment against sinners. He will also be aware of that God came to punish sinners at this particular time when people rebelled against Him. He brought flood to destroy things, and it was only Noah, because Abraham descended from the children of Noah, I think from Shem, one of the children. And also that the Tower of Babel was also there. So you knew that it was these two things. You knew that it was God's punishment, God's anger against sin, that brought this. So this in the mind, when he heard the call of God to separate from his idolatrous country and family, he would have feared greatly. This God who came to punish these people, He's calling me. Ha! He's calling me. This God that hates sin is calling me. And I am a man living in idolatry, worshipping idols in an idolatrous country. So Abraham will be moved with fear. And this godly fear made him to listen to the Lord. So sometimes when you read the chapter, oh, Abraham heard God and he believed Him, there will be an information. There's something Abraham knew that, well, it wasn't so much important thing to him. So God came to him. And he realized, yes, this is the God that dealt with these two people, two generations. And this God, He's a God who goes according to His word. And because before God came to destroy the world with a flood, we are told Abraham, preached over 120 years. People heard that God was going to destroy, they didn't mind. Abraham, as I told you, these things were not written, but it was history. They would have known it. 400 years and 100 years. So they would have just passed over one generation to the other by then. So we see that it was the godly fear, a fear that moved him, because he had heard of this God who hates sin. This God whom he was living against, the creator and the judge of so he did not just see God as the creator, he saw Him as a judge. You see, until we are serious about the things of God, unless we realize that He made us. And not just that He made us, He holds us accountable for our lives. As I told you, look at us. We did not give birth to ourselves. We did not plan to be born by our parents. We did not plan to be born in this country and place. And all our capacities, on our soul, our mind, and the heart, and the feelings, and the intelligence, we did not own them. We were born with it. And who gave us this life? God. You see? And then, until we also know that He has placed us here, so that in the ages to come, we will be accountable for our lives. We will never move. Nothing will move us to seek Him. Even when He tells us to repent of sin, we will joke. We will think that it's just a joke. But Abraham, knowing that God has punished these two people because of sin, he feared. He moved him. It moved him to obey the Lord. So again, the God, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, is calling every sinner to Himself, where He will give forgiveness of sin, transform our heart, and give eternal life. That is all the message of the gospel. That we also live in sin, and that we also are living on, and if we live on sin and we die, there will be judgment. But God, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. Perish in a life of sin. Perish because we live our lives away from God. Perish because we kept our heart to ourselves. We keep a bar. We put a bar to God that we want to live our life for ourselves and sin against His will. Perish because we were disobedient when He called us. Perish because when He sent His Son to come and die, we never cared. When the Lord Jesus Christ died for sin, well, we were like the, when we asked like that, we were like the Pharisees and the high priest and the elders. Who, okay, oh, He died. He said, I can save others. Let me save Himself. Where are they? So shall we also be who perish. So God gave His Son, but those who not listen, they will perish in their sin. They will one day have to come and stand before Him. But you know that this world is doomed. That this world will come to destruction one day. And that sinners will be punished in hell. Sinners will be taken to judgment. They will have to go and face God for their life. Do you think of that? The MVP said, Look at what 2 Peter tells. 2 Peter 3 verse 7. He tells us that, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, because the same word God spoke this world into being. That's what it means. By the same word is kept in store. The same powerful word from God that brought this world to being, the same world is keeping this world in store. You see, sometimes we think that we live in a world that, God is not in control because we think things are going up and down and nobody is taking hold. But the Bible tells us God has kept this world in store. Whether we believe it or not, this is what it is. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He has reserved this day for this world for destruction, the things that are in the world for destruction, and also those who are ungodly. So how will you escape the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men? Ubetidena, sa temudai any dad boyen for be say no, which me at you more. How can you escape? If you are living in your sin, how can you escape? If you have lived your life away from God and you have put your mind off from His call to repent, His call to save you. Abraham, when he heard, he was living in idolatry, when he heard the call of God, he left his country. You and I, the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is calling us? How do you respond to that? It's the gospel that reminds us of God's love for us. That tells us God has not left the world as people think. God has not supposed to sin. Well, God has not done anything about sin. God has done something about sin. That's the gospel. To save us from our sin. To bring us from the bondage to sin. To live for selfish aims. To live for pride and show. To live for nothing. Because these are vanities. Because this will lead us nowhere. Just yesterday or so, I saw a flash of news from Ghana Web. And there was a lady whose name, she became popular in Ghana. Because she had all the connections. And she was living in luxury and all that. I think along the line, 20 years ago, she was arrested in the U.S. or one of the countries, and they retained her. She was kept in prison because she was doing cocaine and other things. And recently, I heard that they have deported her to Ghana because she has been there, she's sick. And the news is that she has lost everything. And the news is that the person was recalling those 20 years ago how she was showing, I mean, politicians, whoever. She was living in luxury at that time. She was living in about $1 million house in Ghana here. And she claimed to want to bring a kind of a life from some place to here. And she was living in a class. Where is she? And that's happened to many people. When we live for this world, even if we die in luxury, where will your soul be? When you die in luxury, unlike her who was arrested and she has been ashamed and she has been, her life is now in a mess and she's even sick now. Some may die in luxury, but where will your soul be? Where will you be? So you see, these things are vanity. And that is what the Bible tells us. So coming to Lord Jesus Christ, believing the gospel is the only way God has provided for us. So that these are vanities, we will not give ourselves our heart to them. We live in this world, but the Bible teaches we should not live for this world. Yes, we'll work, we take care of our family, we'll do all that we do, but we should not put our hope. And this thing should not take from us the opportunity to seek God and know Him and give ourselves to Him. No, living a normal life shouldn't be a hindrance to us. In fact, most of the time, it's a hindrance to us. In the parable of the sower, we are told one portion, the problem was that the cares, of the burdens of life. I mean, they are so consumed with the burden of this life that the gospel did not profit them. So you see, the burdens of life can be a distraction. So work is not a sin to, it's not sin to work. But work itself can make you not to think about even how your soul is doing. So God tells us, He has sent His Son to come and take on Himself the punishment for sin. And that is what the only way we can be released. The only way, that's the message that is called to us, to live a life of sin. So that I said before, how important is this message to you? How do you think of it? How do you think of your faith? Or you think you are better? Have you come to Him that way? So like how Abraham responded humbly to God's call, all of us must realize that our sins be punished. Abraham realized that because he knew that the flood has come, it was a punishment for sin, the confusion of languages at Babel was a punishment for disobedience. And he was alarmed. Are you also concerned with your sin, life of sin? If you are concerned, this will alarm, because you know God, when He says that He will punish, He will punish. And when He tells us He has sent His Son to come and die, He means it. And when He tells us to come to Him to save us, He means it. And that God will never disappoint. Because if you go to the passage, Abraham was never disappointed. God really, he came to know the Lord, worship Him, and he was kept by Him, and the blessing came upon his descendants. And even as we know, the chiefest of all the blessings, the Lord Jesus Christ came from His line, and that is what we have today. And even there, we are told that Abraham, when he goes to the land, he was thinking of heaven, not in that particular land. So you see, Abraham, when he came to know God, his heart was lifted up, and he realized that this life, and all that he will have in this life, is not enough. But we are told that they were looking for a city which foundation is by God, which is a heavenly city, a city where He doesn't depend on flesh and blood. That is how God does for us. When we listen and come to Him, as we are told, He gives us eternal life. There will be a happy life to come, where we will not live in a world of pain, a world of disappointment, a world of illnesses and death and whatever. We shall not live in this forever. We shall live with God, and that God will be with us. And that is the message. That's the call. And how do you respond to this call? Have you responded to Him? Have you yielded your life to Him? This is a question to you. If you have not done so, come to Him. Jesus Christ is ever willing to receive you. He's ever willing to forgive every sinner. He's ever willing to give to everybody that forgiveness which He has promised. Come to Him and yield your heart to Him. And you also come to know the fellowship of the Lord. And it will never be the same.